This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
There's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Alert! We are back for the Circle finale coverage here on Rob as a Podcast, and another Circle season is in the books, and we have got a great group chat for you here today to talk about everything that's going on. First, of course, back with us, a man who's been with you every step of the way, Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm excited. We've got another finale to talk about, another winner to crown, and a great panel to do so with. So,
great panel. Okay, let me bring everybody in. Okay, back with us, Chantel Francis. Chantel, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm actually surprised by the outcome of this season. So it's going to be great to talk about how we got where we got. And I'm pretty pumped to do it with you guys. So okay. Thanks for having me.
A man who can tell us why everybody else lost is here. David Bloomberg. David, how are you?
Good. The rules are a little bit different for this game than the ones that I'm used to covering. So we'll see how that goes.
Okay. And much like in a season where they brought a Circle legend back to play in the game, we are honored to have here with us from the Circle season two. It's Courtney Revolution. Courtney, how are you?
I am feeling fantastic. I mean, it was a great season. I feel like there's still some life in the show after watching this one. So I'm feeling good.
I mean, I feel like that the Circle alumni seem closer than any of the other reality shows that we cover. Is that a fair assessment? Is the Circle fam actually as tight in real life?
Yeah. Like, listen, I love a happy hour. So like what happens is like me and Savannah will go to happy hour, and then it's like, oh, let's call this person. I didn't realize that us being so close was like a thing until like my friend from like MTV was like, y'all are always hanging out together. I don't even see my castmates. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, yeah, we're really a family.
Yeah. Well, I guess like the Circle trains you to like maintain long distance relationships. Right?
Yeah, bring this person in the group chat. Yeah.
We start out texting and we just keep on texting.
Exactly.
And you're not spending weeks together, you know, getting on each other's nerves in close company before you can go out and have fun together.
Yeah, I guess that's also part of it where, you know, they keep you like sequestered the whole time. And then the season is over. It's like, oh, we got to hang out in real life. Yeah. But like most of these shows, like, I am so sick of you. I never want to see you again.
Yeah. Pack them up and get them out.
So I guess that's built into the show. Anyway, congratulations to Sam, the winner of The Circle season 5. We will talk about her win and everything else that happened, all the big moments of the season here with you today. Live. If you're watching us here in the chat, you can go ahead and post your questions and we will take them here in the show. Karen, your reaction to Sam as the winner?
I think it's great. I mean, Sam was, I think, one of the more entertaining characters throughout the season. And I mean, really, when it came down to it, it was going to be Sam, Chaz, or Raven.
The big three.
And I had reasons for all three of them to win and for why I would be happy if any of them won. So I don't think it was like once we got down to it, it wasn't super surprising to me that she came away with it. But I was very pleased with it. And if you think about it, she really, I think, unintentionally did a thing that I've talked about before, which is that like a potential optimal strategy for the circle is to just buddy up to the most popular player, be their number one, and then ride them to the end and then win because people don't rate them first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well played by Sam. I'm not sure though, if it was,
strategic, definitely not intentional.
Yeah. She just loved Chaz. Courtney, what's your reaction to Sam? Yeah.
I was very excited to see Sam win. Like it was said previously, like any of the big three, I would have been like, but I think for me, it was Sam's initial reaction that sealed it for me. Like you could tell that this was something that truly was life changing for her. The thought of helping her family, I actually related to. So I was like I jumped up in bed. I was like, like, you know what I mean? I don't know. It made me feel good and fuzzy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was such a dominating performance, really, by the trio of Sam, Chaz, and Raven. Really, like, were in the top spots, like, almost the entirety of the game. David, nobody else, if they were able to get into a power position, they could not maintain it like those three could.
No, I mean, when you have, you know, call it an alliance, even though I don't think they would have called it an alliance, but all voting each other high. And then you have the people on the outside who are also voting them high. Usually someone could poke their head up there, but they're just not going to stay. And then I think that, you know, and Taryn and company talked about it somewhat on the last podcast. I think the newbie revolution, the reveal of it, the failed newbie revolution, caused those three and the other originals just to contract, you know, and to tighten up. And that helped their cause even more.
Well, I think that's such an interesting question to talk about. Because, I mean, I feel like that Shuby came and left, rather quickly. But the impact of the newbie revolution was felt throughout the whole season. Chantel, do you feel like that this closeness of these three original players was something that was like the newbie revolution actually was the best idea?
Or, absolutely.
Or did the original players regroup and become even tighter because the newbie revolution was formed?
I think both are true in this situation. Like, I was rooting for the newbie revolution. I was like, Sasha, you could do it. I'm like, come on, Shuby, have a little bit more finesse here. Because it's a good plan if they want to win. And it seems like the people that were new into the game didn't really want to win. And they kind of wanted to play a little bit more of like a friendship game. And like, I've been calling it like, oh, the morality police are out. You know, like, you know, nobody wants to win the game. They have to just rate with their hearts all the time. And so I definitely was like, really wanted Sasha to break through and just shake up those top three a little bit. I like all of them and everybody pretty much as a player and as a person, but I was like, come on, you're just going to allow those top three. One of the three of them are going to decide who's going to win the game. Like, I did want them to come in and break things up a bit. And I do think that hearing about that, because it was kind of all these morals were always being discussed, I think it did tighten up the top three when they heard what was happening to them. How dare anybody try to break apart the top three? And, you know, I think it should have happened personally. But
yeah,
I like strategy and gameplay, and it wasn't really happening that much this season.
I tried to like do the math as much as possible. And I'm reasonably certain that as soon as Tom decided to let Chaz block Marvin instead of Sasha, Sasha instead of Marvin, I should say, there was no chance for anybody else to win the game from that point forward. There just like, given that Sam, Raven, and Chaz all voted each other at the top every single time, it was like actually impossible for anybody to break into the spots where they were even like potentially able to win. So like, even if the hacker stuff hadn't happened and both Jen and Tom are in the final five, it's still Chaz, Raven, or Sam that wins the game. Like, there's just nothing they can do.
Courtney, could you tell us a little bit about the players who come in at the beginning and then when more players are added to the game? Like, is that a thing that, you know, the players are talking about of like, hey, let's, you know, let's not let any of these new players come in and get a foothold on the game?
I can definitely speak for myself when I was not happy. Once Kat left and Mitch was still around, I was kind of like, in my season, well, I want the originals to kind of still get to the end. Me, Chloe, Lee, and I think I think it was like Trevor at the time. But it wasn't like so huge where it was like taking over our conversations. It just sort of was like, well, we're closer and we want to put Mitch in the ditch. And that was it. I felt like in this particular season, it was like Shuby was making it like a huge versus thing. But for us, it was just kind of like, oh, you're a leftover. Almost kind of like John. Mitch and John were like our two, like, well, we know they're not going to win, so they could go. That's kind of like our thinking.
Yeah, I had wondered because, you know, Shuby coming from playing again, that he had that experience of like being an original player from the first time that he played. And I wonder if he was sort of like the first to realize, hey, that the new player or the old players are going to stick together. And this is our one chance. We outnumber them. We have to do this. But I think that he was kind of like unable to really express that information without like saying, revealing like, hey, no, I know what this is like. I've been here before. I'm the veteran.
Yeah. He wouldn't have been able to say like, guys, the number, like you need to rate, like that would have been like against the rules, you know?
Yeah, it's tough. I think, you know, the few times that a new player has gotten to the end with any chance to win, it's either because there has been some kind of like revolution. But usually even then it has to be spearheaded by one of the original players. Or there's just like, there's been a civil war amongst the original players, which has given an opening for the new players. Very rarely, I think, will you see all new players able to band together and take out the originals, because the originals have such a foothold. It's very difficult to overcome, which should be something that people think about if they're going to be playing the circle. But I think also it's not exactly what I imagine producers or viewers really want, because they usually get attached to the original players.
Yeah.
So really are just kind of fodder.
Yeah, I think it's also just, I mean, and this isn't news, that it's more difficult for the new players, but it's not just in trying to break through the bonds, but even when they're trying to play, even when they're trying to just talk to them. Like we saw at the end, Chaz, you know, got rid of Oliver and he said, well, you know, we had that flirt session and you were sending me pictures, but it felt like you were just doing it to try to get on my good side. Well, what else was Oliver supposed to do? I mean, that was the only chance he had. At least he was going about it in a more friendly way than Shuby, who was like, hi, nice to meet you. Let's form an alliance till the end.
Well, and I think the fact that they had limited time to be able to talk to people. So Shuby like probably only had that one conversation that he could try to maybe gather everybody together, get everybody on the same page. And so he was just like really frantic and really, he needs to make it happen. And it just came across aggressive and it didn't have any, as I was saying, finesse. And he didn't have those one-on-one relationships with people and maybe one-on-one. If he did a one-on-one with everybody and gathered everybody together that way, I think he might've been more successful. But I don't think he had the opportunity to have that many conversations with people, which is why it failed, I think.
Courtney, you are nodding very much. Do you want to expand on that?
I think as an audience member, as someone that's been on the inside and then watching as an audience member, I don't hate, but I get frustrated watching and being like, ah, I know they didn't have, you get this feeling of like, well, if I don't do this now, I probably won't get the opportunity to do it. So maybe Shuby woke up and was like, I got to do something. I'm going to have to rally the troops. And that was his moment. I think that I probably would have been like, I need to rally the troops by getting two people over here and two people over here and having maybe this many chats. But it doesn't sound like he was going to get that opportunity. Yeah, they was like, girl, do it now or nor, babes. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I think in a lot of ways, like Shuby's experience, knowing how few opportunities he would have, were a part of why he was so like, well, I know. Whereas an actual new player who wanted to start a newbie revolution would probably just like have one conversation about it and then get blocked. And everyone would be like, why didn't they have more conversations, dummy? Because they weren't able to.
You know, David, you mentioned that Chaz eliminated Oliver here in this finale. That was, you know, other than the actual like winner reveal, I think probably the most dramatic moment from the episode of what was going to happen. Chaz seemed to think that Oliver was the hacker. Ultimately, Chaz comes in second place. Taryn, was that a game losing decision for Chaz?
I think it potentially was. It's hard to say without knowing how Oliver would have rated in the final ratings. I think I can be relatively certain that Tamira rated Chaz third, which is not great. If Oliver rates Chaz any higher, then that's better, especially if Chaz also rates Sam a little lower than Tamira, who either rated Sam first or second. I'm not entirely sure. So I think
Jennifer rate Chaz also.
Jennifer apparently, I think, rated Chaz second. I think keeping Jennifer was definitely the play because Jennifer takes up the final, the fourth spot for a lot of people.
You think Chaz should have eliminated Sam?
No, I think she should have eliminated Tamira. I think Tamira was the best play there. It's still like, it's not like a lock. I think Tamira was the play that I would have gone for if I were Chaz. I think it might have given him a smaller or a small like advantage over getting rid of Oliver. But I think the bigger thing that he could have done is just rate Sam and Raven lower.
Mm-hmm.
especially because the reason to keep Jennifer is that everyone's going to rate her last, mm-hmm. which means that you can very safely rate her first. And if nothing else had changed and Chaz had rated Sam third or fourth, then he would have won almost definitely. That was, I think, the biggest thing is they didn't really take advantage of the fact that he didn't block Jen by not then rating her first.
Yeah. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, I was just going to say that would have required them to think strategically, and all of them very much prided themselves on not playing strategically, yes. but playing with their heart. And so on the one hand, I was thinking, oh, look at Sam. She played with her heart and won. But then you look at the other people and it's like, well, that's because most of the other people were not playing strategically either. And if they had been playing strategically, she wouldn't have won playing that way.
Yeah. Courtney, could you tell us what you saw from those final ratings?
Honestly, I thought that everyone was going to rate Chaz rather high. I actually thought for a split second Chaz was going to win because throughout the season, I kind of felt like, well, they're placing so much emphasis on Chaz and his story and his alliances and this and the third. There's no way that he's going to win. And then when we got down to it, I was like, huh, maybe Chaz might have this in the bag. I think that his mistake was sending Oliver home, but in the same breath, Oliver, I believe, tweeted a few hours ago that he would have sunk Chaz in the ratings as well.
Yeah. Lorraine in the chat says Oliver sent Twitter, he would not have rated Chaz high.
Yeah. So like how could Chaz have won?
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. Other than, Taryn's idea to vote out Tamira. But that just, it seems like that, as David is pointing out, like that seems like high level strategy that I feel like that we really the only player that I felt like was playing like very strategically was the team of, Brett and Xanthi as Jennifer.
Yeah.
And then at the end, they stopped and voted with their heart, which I think they did because they knew they couldn't win. So they figured, mm-hmm. if we're not going to win, we might as well, we're not going to tank it for someone else. So we'll just vote the right way.
Couldn't be me.
Yeah. Courtney, could you tell us that, do you know that the Circle season five, that how many seasons of the Circle had these players seen at the time that they played the Circle season five?
They probably have seen up. I imagine speculation, not confirmation, that they have seen up to three, maybe. Because I imagine four and five were filmed back to back.
Okay.
I think it was four and five, or maybe it was it all
cause
three?
Because two and three were filmed.
Okay.
Are the sister seasons. So four and five are the other sister seasons.
Courtney, did you see anything this season that you felt like was a reaction to things that might have been seen in Circle season two and three? In terms of the way the players played?
I think that maybe the players were less strategic. For sure, which isn't a drag, but I definitely think my season was pretty strategic, and I thought that Nick on season three was very strategic, and I think that perhaps maybe they saw some of those conversations on social media, the negative ones around the strategic players, and they feel as though, not speaking for them, but maybe they feel as though, well, if I play with my heart and I'm kind, then I can go farther, not only in the game, but with the audience as well. And that's just something that I went in like, well, girl, the audience who? My dad is sick, you know? But I feel like maybe they feel differently, you know? And it makes for an entertaining watch, I think. But I prefer to watch backstabbery.
Yeah, we kind of all do. Yeah,
I want to see shade and like and get them.
I want to see people try to win.
Right.
Yeah, people like lie. Right. I want them to lie. Like, you know.
Calling all Friday Night Lights fans. You know I love a good recap podcast, and I've got some exciting news for you. You can now get behind-the-scenes stories and hot takes about the Dillon Panthers, Jason Street, Matt Saracen, and everybody from Friday Night Lights, because every Thursday, Scott Porter, Zach Guilford, and their celebrity bestie and Friday Night Lights superfan, Mae Whitman, are bringing you a new recap podcast called It's Not About Football, Friday Night Lights and Beyond. Relive the glory days as the group discusses their favorite moments and memories, share never before told stories, and answer all your burning questions. There's fun segments, challenge flags, featured guests, anyone from fellow cast members to close friends and colleagues who have been influenced by the show, its fandom, friendship, and a lot of laughs. And check out the trailer at the end of this podcast and be sure to subscribe to It's Not About Football, Friday Night Lights and Beyond, so you don't miss an episode. We haven't talked a lot about Sam as the winner of the season yet. Taryn, are there any things that you saw from Sam this season that were a way of playing the game that people should really be paying attention to for future seasons of The Circle?
I mean, I think just, you know, and this is kind of the mission statement of The Circle to a degree, is that, and they really try to reinforce this, but like being yourself is a good thing. Especially when people can recognize it and you're just like so unabashedly who you are that nobody thought Sam was a catfish. And also because Sam is unafraid, and this is something that we saw with like Jen talking to Tamira, like just being like, oh no, everything's fine, smiley face. Like Sam being unafraid to call people out when she had a problem with them and then have a conversation with them and genuinely like make amends. It makes you feel a lot more comfortable with that person because it feels like they're being upfront with you and they're not hiding secret grudges, right? And so I think that's another big part of it. Just again, just being upfront, honest, and herself is something that I think we've seen a lot of players succeed with. It was pointed out to me, like of the five winners now, three of them are like these, you know, big personality New Yorkers. and I think it translates well to be able to just like, even if you are a catfish, to be able to have a personality that feels very upfront is very beneficial when all you have to go off is a little bit of text.
Yeah. Courtney, why do all the catfish seem to come in as we're talking about like all of the winners have like big personalities? I feel like that almost all of the catfish come in and have like a very shy and to use a word that was thrown at Shuby, a very timid personality.
I think, I mean, I wasn't no catfish, but if I had to like try to look from their perspective, I think that maybe catfish are, they come across timid because they are always trying to be aware of the details. So before you send a message, you may be asked, are you sure? Or is that detail correct? Reread that again and you might go back and change something. You may feel a little bit off your game and go and change your response from something that is bright and bubbly and more like yourself to something that's a little bit more controlled within the bounds of your catfish or your character. Speaking for myself, when I was faced with those situations, I would be like, no, I want to say that. Mm-hmm. the situation when like Jack being fake with Jack, I was like saying all kinds of stuff and they would be like, are you sure you want to say that? And I'm like, no, I'm being fake. I'm being fake. Go ahead, send the message. Yeah, big cheesy smile. Go ahead.
I think my favorite thing about Brett this season was when he said that he didn't care that Sasha was a catfish. He's like, she's working with us. Well, who cares?
Right.
Like, let's just work together. And that I was like, please, everybody, take that on, because I'm not really interested in the catfish hunt. Like, they're just people playing this game. They're not, they're either doing well or they're not doing well. But I want people to gain alliances and work together and try to get themselves a win. And so I really like the fact that he didn't care about the fact that Sasha was a catfish, because they are working together.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, that's the thing that annoys me when I'm watching too. It's like, okay, we're gonna hunt down the catfish. No, just be yourself. And every person almost who is, I'm going to hunt the catfish, they're not sharing enough of themselves. That's the thing that we heard from so many people. Sam in particular said it multiple times. This person isn't sharing any of themselves, whether they're a catfish or not. They're acting like, you know, they're just not saying anything about themselves. And if you're just hunting catfish, or if you're a catfish yourself, or if you're both, then, you know, you're spending so much time doing those things that, as Courtney said, you only have limited time and you're using it the wrong way.
So, of course, the Circle does a great job in the final episode of getting everybody together. First, we get the players together with each other. And then ultimately, we get the big finale reunion show, which at this point in time, the Circle might be like the only reality show that does like a reunion show like this, other than like maybe, you know, 15 minutes on Big Brother. But we got everybody getting together in the big final dinner scene. Sam and Chaz get together, of course. The husband and wife it's all great for them. But here comes Jennifer. We got a lot of reactions to Brett and Xanthi. Taryn, Chaz did not recognize that Brett was the same person from the beginning of the game.
Yeah. Which, I mean, fair. Like, he saw like one picture of him for like a day. But
he knew Xanthi. The two people that got blocked.
Yeah. Sam's reaction to that was like, oh, what, you think that Xanthi just got like some, G.I. Joe in there with her?
Yeah.
I liked it. And also, from the beginning, I was saying that I really wish Sam had been the other one blocked on day one, because I wanted to see Sam and Brett in a room together all season. Now she's gone on to win. So like, congrats to her for not getting stuck in that spot. But This dinner convinced me that I was right. Like, her first reaction to Brett was like, shut the hell up, Brett. Like,
yeah. That was certainly fun to get the reactions to Brett and Xanthi from everybody. You know, here comes Tamira. And I guess my question was, what was the point of like, should Tayshia have just played as herself and not as Tamira, other than getting Marvin to flirt with her? Like, was there, like, I don't really understand why she had to be Tamira and couldn't just be Tayshia.
Yeah, it felt like the least impactful, though it had an impact.
She shouldn't have catfished. I kind of liked her just as she was. And I think that she would have been more comfortable just like sliding in there and fitting in with the group with Oliver and everyone else. Bring her back, but not as a catfish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tasia comes through and then ultimately, you know, wants to know about what happened with the hacker. We're going to get that discussion of what's going on. People, I guess, after they rank, aren't that mad about stuff anymore, David.
Well, I guess I feel like when you're in person, and maybe this is a larger perspective on society, people seem to get angrier behind a keyboard than they do in person. And so, I mean, even when Marvin met Raven, you know, Raven was like, ah, it's okay. You know, they were, you know, they were fine together, at the, more or less. Well,
I
mean,
you see Marvin in person, I think there's a whole new layer.
You're like, oh,
I
just you're real.
Yeah. but I just think that, yeah, they get, you know, they're in their own literal own little worlds there. And that's the only thing they have to get mad about. And then they're meeting everybody. And it's like, oh, okay, well, what was the hacker? Ah. Okay, well, it's not that big a deal. And I think they were past it at that point.
Mm-hmm. And then finally, we got Raven and Paris come through. They have brought in like a team of interpreters to help Raven, which was pretty cool. And so, you know, Raven wants to know about the hacker as well. But I thought this was so petty from Brett that he had to like stop the thing and be like, I'd like to know, Raven, why did I get blocked? Like, dude, like got to play the whole season. You were the hacker. What do you care about something that happened on day one?
Yeah.
That's ego got bruised.
Like, because they all season long had kind of been like, we got to make sure Raven, you know, gets knocked down a peg. And you could see that as strategic, but I think there was clearly a little bit still there from Brett, and they ultimately rate Raven last. You know, it's look, I guess you gotta be careful of who you block early on, because they might secretly come back as a bear and then rate you last in the finals.
Yeah, I felt the same way that Brett was saying, oh, we have to rate from the heart. And well, we just didn't have as good a connection with Raven. And then I think that maybe they put that in that part of the finale just to kind of remind us that he was still holding these feelings about Raven.
Mm-hmm.
Do we think that Paris is going to come on season 6? Because like, I feel like he was such a great character that wasn't necessarily part of the season, but he was there and I really enjoyed what he brought. So.
Only if they bring Marvin back.
Marvin already got cast on like Big Brother and like Nigeria or something.
America's Got Talent as well, I believe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Courtney, what I want to know is how did they not cast Marvin on the ultimate like Netflix Avengers Endgame of dating shows? How did they miss Marvin for that?
He probably missed the casting call.
He probably missed the casting call. Yeah. Marvin will literally be the face of season 2 more than likely. It's sounding like the perfect show for him. Him and all my messy friends, yeah, throw him in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's his calling, Taryn.
I think the trick is that he says yes to everything. So I think that makes him perfect.
I guess they just didn't ask him.
Maybe they did, but he'd already said yes to the Big Brother thing. You know,
you think they're mad at him about going on Big Brother?
I think he said yes to Big Brother, and then he was like on the plane to Big Brother, and then they called him up to do Perfect Match, and he said yes, and they were like, "Great, can you do it?" And he was like, "Yeah, I'll definitely do it." And then he no-showed them because he was busy with Big Brother.
Mm-hmm.
And then Netflix no-showed him on Big Brother.
I promise you, you're my queen. I'm coming.
Yeah. So after we got to see everybody in their Final Five reunion, we got to see a bunch of the people from the beginning of the game. They all got to meet. Remember Brian? Remember Bruno? They're all here.
Right.
Oh, Billie Jean is not my lover.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Chantel, were you happy to see anybody from the beginning of the season back?
Just Shubi, because, you know, I thought that he really got a tough challenge in this season. I know that they're using him for his star power and that he was going to come on and he was going to try and do something. But the fact that they didn't let him choose his catfish, like, they were setting him up to fail. And so I was happy to see him. I think that he's like, he's just a good personality. He's a feel good person. He wants to play the game. And I was happy to see him again. The other two catfishes from early in the season, they're forgotten. Yes. I don't really remember them.
Shout out to Brian, who's a podcast listener.
I did really enjoy the Brian and Billie Jean. Shubi comes in and Brian is like, "Oh, it's Shubi. Oh my God, I'm such a big fan." And Billie Jean is like, "Oh my God, it's Shubi." She's like, "Wait, who are you?" And he's like, Sasha. She's like, "What? Wait, why did you do that to me?" And now she's like, she's so mad at Sasha, but now it's Shubi. And while she's trying to reconcile that, and during the reconciliation of that, Brian is like, "I'm just such a big fan, Shubi. I'm just like, just a lot of emotions going on."
Courtney, what did you think about them bringing Shubi back to play as a catfish that he didn't choose? Did they put Shubi into a no-win situation?
They put my nephew Shubi into what's called a trick bag, y'all.
That
is what you call a trick bag. Why they do that to my sister? Shubi should have come on in and slid his way to the finals. And it just felt like they were placing hurdle after hurdle after hurdle every step of the way. And I knew it was finished the second the revolution chat started. And like Oliver kind of like gave a response that was like hella neutral. And it was like, what the hell is that supposed to mean? And I was like, oh my God, shoot. They done flushed him down the toilet, y'all. I wanted more for him, honestly. Mm-hmm. I didn't want this to like affect his legacy, but he's still an icon to me.
Mm-hmm. I think it would have been honestly way more interesting if he had been Shubi, because if he had been playing as Shubi and still is making those kinds of moves, like trying to organize a revolution, I think people are much more receptive to the idea if they know he's Shubi, and then things might have gotten a little interesting. Granted, they kind of got interesting anyway, but it definitely would have been more interesting for the Shubi storyline and for anybody that wasn't part of the trio.
So I do wonder just how much that would have like, you know, then we're just talking about like previous like circle questions. But Courtney, is that, I guess, not like having Lance Bass in the circle?
Not Bass. Not Lance. When I tell y'all, I truly thought for 30 seconds that Lance Bass was in the circle. Has anyone told y'all how it came up on the screen?
No.
So we were like in the bathroom, like doing whatever, going to sleep. And then all of a sudden it's like, alert, alert. And we look up and it says specifically, Lance Bass has joined the circle. And I remember looking up at the ceiling and I go, well, that's a catfish, because why the hell would y'all say it, put his last name on the screen if it's just Lance Bass? And they were like, but you don't know. And I was like, Lance.
So maybe someone should have come in and catfish as Shubi.
That would be very interesting.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think that'd be fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, could we see that maybe in a future season where somebody is coming back as a different person? Courtney, would you volunteer your identity for a future player to catfish as you if they asked?
Nor. I don't think I could do it. I would go back in as a catfish, but I don't think I would give someone permission to catfish as me because I'm too sensitive. Yes. And I probably would get
Is there
offended.
A past player you would catfish as?
No.
Shubi.
Actually, I think I could pull off Shubi for 3 to 4 episodes.
Okay.
I could get through like a blocking and then like I'd mess up somewhere. Shubi's like very intelligent. And I'm a little bit more goofy. So I'd get caught up somewhere. I'd have like a Jack Mannequin moment. And then it's gonna be right out the door.
I guess we start to bring everybody together. I guess one of the other things that I wanted to highlight was Tom's reaction to ultimately learning that Jennifer blocked him. Taryn, I felt like that Tom was in a good spot. Ultimately, you cited the moment where he blocked Sasha, but I feel like that Tom was just too good of a friend to Jennifer.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that Tom could have won the game anyway. Definitely had this sort of like tragic downfall story where he went out being too loyal to Jen and rates her first, and Jen tanks him in the ratings. What I really wanted to know, and I'm always annoyed that they don't tell us this information, was did it actually make a difference? Like would it have been Jen if she hadn't done that, or would it have been somebody like Tamira or Oliver? Because it did seem like it could have been close. Was it an unnecessary move in the first place, or did it actually save Jennifer's life? I would have loved to have found that out.
I feel like it had to. Courtney, do you have a thought on this?
Repeat the question. I was trying to figure out what she was just asking. Right,
okay.
Now, Taryn.
All right. So when we saw that Jennifer put Tom last, was that the difference between Jennifer going home or not?
I think so. I wish that Tom would have thought on the same wavelength as Jennifer. I feel like in a game like The Circle, something super small you use to make something really big. That's why people go on the hunt for catfishes, right? Because you use that as like, well, you're not being yourself. I wish that as soon as Tom found out that Jennifer was the hacker, it would have been like, okay, well, girl, you're gone. Like, yeah, we could say to her face, like, or screen or whatever, yes, girl, I trust you and we're in an alliance, blah, blah, blah. Girl, place Jennifer right in whatever place that's last, because, girl, you're messing with the game. You're being untruthful to the other players. And these are my friends and my circle family, so you have to go. That just would have been my reasoning. Now, the internet may have been very upset with that, but I'm trying to win, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
My read on that was that it felt like Tom hadn't even crossed his mind that he could have done that. That like, wait a minute. Oh, wait. So Jen put me last, because otherwise you'd be a little suspicious, right? But he was like so blindsided by it that I think he was just trying to process like, wait a minute. Why would she put me last? Oh no. What did I do?
Mm-hmm. I do think Tom, and this is just my own perspective here, may have been thinking about things outside the circle. He is a stand-up comedian. He is going on like a 60 stop tour or something like that.
60 stop tour off of the circle?
I don't know. But it was a lot of stops. But you know, for him to come off as being mean, if it turns out that this is truly the person who's there,
a 52-year-old auntie,
yeah, you know, that does not help his professional development going forward. And so it, you know, in his case, maybe it is better to just, you know, be the nice guy and everything. But yeah, it's just, you know, you're within the game, and I, you know, we've said it before, I wish they would play it within the game. But I also think that's why, you know, Taryn, to your point, I think that's why they don't show the scores. I think production doesn't want to turn into a math game. I think they like it when people vote with their heart and play with their heart.
I love the math game.
Yeah, me too.
I love the math game.
Oh my God, I'm poking this out. Yes.
I want to be like the, the old high school math teacher. Show your work.
I want to see the work too.
Yeah, but they just, they just
show your twerk more like on this show.
Oh, yeah. Rob, you got one?
No, not yet. It's an afternoon podcast. I don't understand how more people didn't think that Jennifer was a catfish this season. It seemed like that maybe Tamira thought that, and ultimately everybody's like, oh no, she's got auntie vibes. That she must be. She's just our aunt.
Oh, I love Auntie Jen.
Auntie Jen. She's going to give good aunt energy to everybody. Right? Did anybody really, other than Tamira, think that Jennifer was shady?
If they didn't show it, I don't think.
Yeah.
By the end,
yeah.
Obviously.
By the time the hacker stuff happened, they obviously thought Jen was shady. But even
they all forgave her.
Like, Well, I don't think Sam did, but
Sam did not.
But even then, like, it still felt like Sam was like, oh yeah, Jen, the 52-year-old auntie, yeah, she's shady, and not like, oh, they must be catfishing. So yeah, it did feel like the catfish did seem to land pretty well, and I think that we have to credit most of that to Xanthi, because she seemed to be in charge mostly of the sort of like catfish portrayal. So yeah, definitely, of an effective cat. It's not often that you get somebody who's that effective, a catfish, that like very few people seem to, at least on the show, express doubt.
I think Tom was really blindsided, when he got to meet, Brett and Xanthi. They're like, oh no, we love you. Like, we're hang out. He did invite them to go to the Tower of London after this is over. Courtney, will you get an invite to the Tower of London to visit Tom?
Listen, I hope to meet Tom at the rap party so I can ask him, because I'm looking for an excuse to leave the country. So I hope. I didn't know what it was either, by the way. Full clarity. I didn't know what it was either.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll show up.
Yeah.
I actually felt really bad for Tom when Xanthi was explaining what she did to him. I was like, you don't need to tell him this now while the camera zoomed in on his face and he's just like taking it all in on the finale here. He knows he's lost the game. Like, you can just say that until after the fact. But he was just like there, like taking it all in. And she's explaining, like, yeah, we rated you last. And like, it just, yeah, I felt for him.
You know, Michelle would have told him anyway.
Probably. It's true. Mm-hmm.
We haven't talked a lot about Raven, who was such a big part of this season. I really was starting to think that maybe Raven was going to be the winner. I feel like that the season, so much of it was her story. Does anybody else have any feelings about how Raven's season went?
Yeah, I think ultimately, you know, we talked about it last week, but the decision to block Marvin instead of Jen...
Right.
Is gonna be what makes her lose here, because Marvin obviously would have rated her first, and Jen ultimately rates her last. But you know, as we talked about, like, it's still pretty understandable given her situation at the time and the conversations she had with Marvin to not trust him. But I think that was definitely the place where she could have turned things around for her to win. But man, her presence on the show was so fun. You know, the like interactions between her and Paris were amazing. The whole plot line with Marvin and the double dealing, it was all great. And I thought she was like, I mean, Sam, definitely a star, the winner of the show. But Raven really felt like the heart of the season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I think one thing that's important is, you know, looking at the ratings that we did know, was that I don't think Raven got any number one ratings. I think that, you know, Sam, well, we know Sam gave Chaz number one. Chaz gave Raven number two. So, you know, presumably she made, or he made Sam number one. You know, we know Tamira almost certainly didn't. And we know Jennifer dropped her to fourth. So, I think she was, it seemed like she was way up at the top there, but she could never get past the married couple there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it's possible that Tamira still could have put Raven first and Sam still would have won. But yeah, I think the fourth from Jen basically prevents her from coming anywhere close. So she needed Jen gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of the whole Marvin love triangle, it was a funny reveal for Marvin to learn that the person that he got crossed up for was actually a catfish, and Tamira was not a real person. For Marvin, though, he just couldn't resist.
Yeah, the Marvin of it all was really funny. I mean, you take everything extra personally in the circle. And so I did feel for Raven and like I was on her side about it. But like I love the reveal of it all, because like Marvin just like, oh my God, I ruined my game for a catfish. Like, what did I do? And that was priceless for me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Marvin said, oh, I knew coming in that my weakness would be the women. And then he didn't do anything about it. He just, it's like, well, I know this is my weakness and I'm just going to go with it. I'm just going to let that completely knock me out of the game.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's tough when you're Marvin and they serve up, you know, claymation boobs on a silver platter.
Those boobs.
I think he needs to change his mindset. The idea that your weakness is like attractive women is kind of pawning off the idea that the fault is with the women and not with you, right? Like that it's these other things that are ruining me. Like you're making the decision to call multiple people queen, dude.
Yeah. My only question is, Marvin didn't realize that at one point or another, Raven and Tamira were going to talk. That is just like the biggest. That thought never crossed his mind. Not an inkling. Mm-mm.
And he kept saying like, oh, I realized it later. Like, no, you didn't. Chaz had to tell you.
Right. Got too laddie.
Too laddie. Aww.
Yeah. Jennifer ends up coming in fifth place. Taryn, on the last podcast, you made an analogy to like The Walking Dead in terms of Jennifer and Tom. And boy, what a miracle it was for Jennifer just to get to fifth place.
Yeah, they tripped Tom. The zombies got him. Mm-hmm. But look, they weren't far behind. That's what happens. They keep coming. Meanwhile, the trio were locked up in their, you know, new community.
Yeah.
So,
And didn't Santhi and Brett seem surprised that they got in last place? I was like, where else did you think you were going to go here? It's like last place is where you were fighting for.
Is it impressive?
I still feel like that's why they rated with their heart, was they knew, but maybe they were just hoping to get a little higher than that.
I mean, in that spot, there's definitely like, if Tamira's strategic, if multiple people are strategic, then they might all rate Jen first, thinking that that's safe. And then just like that, whoops, Jen wins. It doesn't often happen that way, especially with five people instead of like four, like the very first season of the UK. But you know, there's always a chance. There's always a hope.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else from the finale that we want to make sure we highlight?
Can I just say, I really enjoy, first of all, something that I don't enjoy that we've talked about before is that they announce who's coming in next.
Yeah.
At the final dinner. I like when it's a surprise, like Brett and Xanthi walk in and you're like, wait, who the hell are you?
Yeah.
Like, are you Raven? But something I really do like that they do is the like after they do the little like reunion official thing and they announce the winner, they have these kind of like pseudo kind of candid shots of just the after party where people are just chatting.
Yeah.
And it feels so natural and it feels like you're like watching as they're having actual conversations after the fact. Yeah. I don't know if it's like fully natural, but it at least feels that way, which I think is a great way to sort of like give some closure and end the season. I think it's really well done.
Yeah,
right before the winner's Skype call.
Yeah, and they do a nice moment also. Yeah, with the winner, and they like bring in their family on an iPad, and they get to tell them that they won. I think that's a nice touch that the Circle does also.
Yeah, I was gonna say from my season to this season's finale, like they've only gotten better. Like ours, a lot was cut out, and to me watching it because I was there, it comes across very choppy. And what I liked on this finale was even at the finale dinner, they had like the conversation about like how each player like played their games, like, oh, I played a little strategic, or I played with my heart, blah, 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 blah. And we had conversations similar, and it just wasn't put in, or moments where we all came together, like the blocked players and the finalists, there were fun moments during that. And they were cut out. And even like how you mentioned the candid moments, can't really show those candid moments from our season, but it was beautiful.
Why?
To see, because it wasn't sweet. It was really beautiful to see how season five, how there were those moments where it was like, oh girl, you deserve this, girl, I'm glad you got the coin, you bet. Like it was refreshing. I can't wait to meet them. Like they're getting hugs from me.
Yeah, this is so interesting because I feel like, first off, that this is not a show where they seem to like be into like cutting things down. If anything, things go on and on and on over the course of the season. But that's interesting that maybe they just want to hit that note of it being like, hey, we're all a big Circle family at the end of the season. And if anything is like sour grapes, they don't want to show it in the finale.
I mean, for me, if I see some candid arguments at the end of the season and people like really getting into it, that's like kicking it up a notch in my book.
So I'm
like,
oh, there we go. Let's get real.
Yeah.
That's the post finale show we want to see.
Actually. Yeah. Great moment when Sam gets to talk to her mom and abuela about that she won the season and what she's...
Stop, you're going to give me a heart attack.
Yeah. So, that was a really cool moment. What about any favorite moments from the season? What are we going to remember the Circle season 5 most for?
You know, for me, actually, speaking of Sam, I think I really liked when we first saw her family visit. That actually was the only time this season that I got a little teary eyed. So I kind of cried when her abuela was saying, like, I love you so much. Like, I think that you're amazing. And Sam kind of breaks down in the end. And so it was a really nice parallel to see it come full circle. Ha ha ha. And come back to the Skype call with her abuela and her mom, where she could say, like, yes, I did this. You can still even so more so be proud of me because I was able to get this done and win some money so we can help take care of our family. So I really like that full circle moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, the thing that's burned into my brain is the Marvin Raven chat.
I think the Marvin situation is the most memorable that we'll still be talking about from the season and future seasons or wherever else Marvin goes.
I mean, there's a reason why they cast Marvin on all these shows.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess that is like the number one moment from the season. What's number two? Is there anything that's a close second?
I think it's probably just like the downfall of Jen with the hacker stuff, maybe. Mm-hmm. You know, that's and then
maybe Shubi leading Jen.
Yeah, maybe Shubi and the newbie revolution. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Shubi like and the newbies.
There are lots of like little great moments, but they all kind of fall within what you'd normally see on the Circle, which I think is why the Marvin thing stands out so much, is because it's just so ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Courtney, is there anything that you're seeing now as we get through 5 seasons of the Circle that you feel like that production might want to take a look at in terms of changing the way that these seasons are going?
I think that maybe we could have our last player coming in maybe like a blocking or two earlier. Mm-hmm. And maybe this is personal, but Oliver is a friend of mine. And I wish so passionately that he would have been in the starting lineup. I hate feeling like he got put, and this is no shade to her, but I hate that he got put in like a Jackie spot from like season 3, I think that was, where it was like she came in and then she was out right away. And I felt like Oliver kind of got that treatment.
Yeah.
And maybe if we kind of like stopped the new players coming in so close to the end, we could see more of them because, you know, he has a story and I wanted to see more of it.
We haven't talked much about Oliver. Poor Oliver comes in and was stuck in traffic. Was still like a big personality, but it was almost like that. The Circle people, the Circle fam, said we're not really going to give Oliver a chance.
Yeah, and not only does he come in last, but he comes in alone, which is just like extra bad because he doesn't have a built-in ally that he can be like, hey, we both came in last. We need to really rate each other high. And so like he stood no chance here unless he happened to luck his way into the end. And then everyone was also really strategic. And, you know, that's just not really something that happens very often. So, I think adding it, like if they're going to have one more person come in after Sasha and Tamira, I think throw Oliver in at the same time, all 3 of them at once, maybe. Give people more numbers as they're coming in and give them more time as they're coming in as well, I think.
Yeah, he was just such a big personality. I don't know why they wanted to leave him to the very end when he couldn't really make use of it. I mean, even when Chaz goes and has to block him face to face, that whole scene, Chaz should have been saying, hey, I'm really sorry. But instead it was reversed. He was like telling Chaz, oh, it's okay. You don't have to feel bad. Like he was the supportive one and he was the one who had just gotten blocked.
Yeah.
I think they know what they're doing. I think they know that this person is not going to have a chance, and that's part of why they try to put like these big nice likable personalities in, because it's like, we know that they're fodder, so we're going to just like, they're just filler. They're just there to be like, you like them a little bit, but you still kind of root for the OGs, and they're just there to kind of fill some time. Which sucks for the person that that's getting put in there.
Got a couple of questions, and if you have questions about the Circle season, put them in the chat. Fat Tyson Apostle has a question for Courtney. Who from your season are you most excited to watch on Perfect Match? if you don't know what Perfect Match is, for the listeners, that there has been an announcement of that they're going to be putting a bunch of the Netflix reality stars together on a show where they are dating, not just people from the Circle, Too Hot to Handle, The Ultimatum, Love at First Sight, The Mole, even. Who from your season is going to be on this Perfect Match?
I believe it is Mitch, Savannah, and Miss Chloe.
Okay.
Yes. I guess out of the three of them, I'm probably most excited to see Savannah because I know she a mess box. So I know she got out there with those men and them women, and she turned it up, I'm sure. So I'm very excited to see what she's done so I can get some good laughs.
Okay. I'm seeing also people from Sexy Beasts also. I don't know if they'll be in costume or not. Yes. Okay. What about from the hashtag Netflix fam? Is there anybody else that you're excited to see in there, Courtney?
You know who I really like from the Netflix family, and I feel like sometimes he gets a really bad rap? I love Zay from The Ultimatum. I think he's a very fun person, a very lovely person, and I think that he's very misunderstood. So I'm excited to see what type of trouble he gets into as well. Oh, and of course, Joey. Oh my God. I can't wait to see Joey as to.
A legend. Yeah, we need people from Pressure Cooker also.
Pressure Cooker.
Yeah, if you watch that, Courtney, really that's good.
It's so good.
That's good.
Really?
Yeah.
It's
like Big Brother meets like Top Chef.
That's good. Strategy?
Yeah,
strategy
and a lot of strategy.
I'm in.
A lot of strategy. Really good. Yeah.
Okay.
So check that out. Okay. This is from Stephanie, who says, has anybody seen Sam's Instagram where her grandmother thinks she was kidnapped? Hilarious. They told Abuela that Sam was kidnapped.
Oh my gosh.
Is that why she thought she was going to have a heart attack when she called her?
Seriously.
Oh no.
How could you do that to Abuela?
I could never.
She thought the ransom was 100,000. Yeah. Now that she was winning.
When the Netflix film crew came to their house, she was like, "Is this what kind of ransom is this?"
Oh my God, yeah. I didn't know that.
Okay. All right. Anything else about the Circle from this season?
I thought it was a good season. I think the casting was good. We talked about this a little bit last week, but like the fact that we had kind of like parallel storylines that we could focus on, the really strategic side with Jennifer and Tom, and then the really like messy side with Marvin and his queens, was, I think, great to give everyone at least a little taste of what they were looking for, depending on what they were looking for. And then the fact that the players were willing to really just like hash things out and like confront each other about issues, I think was super important for the show. I think that the finale, while like exciting for Sam, I've seen a little bit of like, which is kind of like, I think what happens with most finales, like even if you're happy for the winner, it just like the format of the finale just still doesn't quite land because it either feels really random or it feels really straightforward. And there's not a lot of like in between where you're like, oh, somebody really like got in there and did that. I still think there's a lot of like changes that the Circle can make. And I think that it's a very, like, it's not like Big Brother where there's like a particular formula that works really well. And, you know, if you mess with it too much, then it like throws the whole thing off. Like, this is the Circle. The whole thing is thrown off. So like mess with it all you want, play with it all you want, because I think that, you know, it's a very malleable formula. And I think there's all kinds of fun stuff you can do. So I hope that we really get some changes moving forward, because I think we've been really a little stagnant here in the last few seasons.
Yeah, I definitely echo that. I thought this was a good group of people that they put onto the show, but I think that there was just like a lot of like, you know, wasted, you know, activities and like, feel like, you know, whole.
How many parties did they have? Like four?
So many parties for like, you know, I wasn't always sure of the point. A lot of like episodes where I was kind of like checking out a little bit before stuff was going, like, you know, they put the alert up. It's almost like I jump up and yell because it's like I was like falling asleep. It's like, oh, yeah. I'm awake. Okay.
Is that why happening. They yell so much on this season? Because I was like, I'm like, did I get older or get annoyed with everything?
In case you drifted like, off. Yeah. That's
so yelling. I'm like, please don't need to yell. And like, I noticed when Shubi came in, he doesn't yell. So like, I feel like it's something that's kind of evolved with the seasons. But I'm like, too much yelling for me. Please just take it down a notch. Like, there are cameras all around you. We can hear you.
We don't want to say it again. Yeah. Okay. If you don't yell, you're going to have to say it again. So you might as well just yell the first time.
Yes.
Right, even Brett was like, Santhi, do you have to yell?
Yeah. Yeah. And Brett's from Big Brother. Jeez.
Courtney, could they do a Circle All-Stars where all the people playing are All-Stars, but they're all catfishing as new people?
It is what I want so passionately. And I think that that is what I would like to happen next. I think that they should get some of the fan favorites and do exactly what you said. And let it be a huge promotional, like, your faves are back. Like, let's get Chris Sapphire. Well, I won't start naming names, but let's get some of the girls in there because people get the hurt. And let it be a huge thing. And I also think that just like the UK, let's get the celebrities in there for a week and let's do it for charity and give the people a break from a new season of The Circle with new people. And then after Celebrity Circle, take a pause and then we're back, fresh faces and a new design and a new this and a new way to choose the winner and blah, 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 and revamp the Megazord. That's what I would like.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Yes, David?
I was just going to say the one thing that works against the possibility, not to be negative, because I like the idea, but works against the possibility of the All-Stars is what Courtney was talking about earlier. They all know each other. They all talk to each other. And
that's why they all have to be catfish.
Yeah, well, but then you'll still know, like, oh, well, I know Courtney's coming, so, you know, going to be one of these catfish.
Courtney, you won't say anything to the other alumni, right, if you get cast?
I would probably be the only one that didn't, to be honest. Everyone would be talking about it in the group chat, and I would probably be the one person that would just show up and no one would know.
They just have to come and kidnap everybody, just like that's Sam's right. Grandma thought. That way nobody could talk. Yeah, like Special Forces : World's Toughest Test.
That's right.
Yeah.
I think if everyone's a catfish, there's more things you can do to the formula where it's like maybe part of how you win the game is how many people caught you. And the person that gets the most amount of like wrong answers for people, like a little bit mole-ish, right? Then they have an advantage or maybe they win. And then that sort of incentivizes you to really like, even with your friends, you know, play your catfish, don't get caught. So I think there's ways you could do it.
So make catfish hunting part of the game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I guess we will leave it there. David, what's coming up for you?
Well, I guess Survivor in the not too terribly distant future will it'll be about a month, and we'll start doing preview podcasts for Why Blank Lost, and then we'll head into that season.
Okay, yeah, it's around the corner. March 1st, Survivor 44 comes back officially. Chantel, I know you always have a lot going on. What's new with you?
It's kind of simmered down right now, but things are actually starting to ramp up. So Wednesdays after the challenge, going live, and then Fridays as well at 8 p.m. Eastern. And then Saturday this week, I'm going to go live with Sarah from Nerdtainment to do a tarot card pick and draft of Australian Survivor. And so we're doing the villains this week to see how they're going to fare this season. So that's on my YouTube channel, Reality Realness with yeses.
Okay. All right. Great job today talking about The Circle. Taryn, what's coming up for you?
The Last of Us just started.
Yes.
We're talking about that over in post-show recaps. on the Video Game Club podcast. No spoilers for the first part of it, though, so you're free to check it out if you want to listen. You can also, of course, always find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taren Armstrong, hanging out over there, playing some games, all kinds of fun stuff. We'll get moving. Big Brother Canada just tweeted recently they're coming back in March, so...
Is that All Stars? Like, I can't tell. Or is it just like, is it like Big Brother US where it's just like there's rumors of All Stars?
If it's All Stars, I haven't heard anything yet. So,
all right, maybe it's All Stars catfishing as new people. Okay, and then Courtney, this was so nice to have you here and get your insider expertise on The Circle season 5. Where can people keep up with what you're doing?
You guys can follow me on social media. I am Court Revolution on Twitter and TikTok, and Courtney Revolution on Instagram. And I have a YouTube live show that I'm getting back to next Wednesday called The Green Chair Chats on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/CourtneyRevolution.
What do you do on the Green Chair Chats?
I talk about celebrities. So I get into all of their news and I speculate, but never confirm. Speculation, not confirmation.
Okay. All right. You have to check that out. And then, of course, we've still got a lot going on. We had all of our traders coverage this past week. We just dropped another Survivor medium dive with Owen Knight. That is up on robiswebsite.com. Plus all of our coverage of the current reality shows, including Special Forces, Tough as Nails, and more over at robhasawebsite.com. I wasn't going to mention it.
You guys got me.
Yeah. Don't embarrass me in front of David, Chantel. Okay. Okay. All right.
I listened to it. You're already fully
involved. All right. Thank you so much for joining us here. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Reading the script read completely differently than any other pilot I've ever read. Pete wrote such a like vicious, honest pilot. I have the original like script from when we auditioned, and it was like, it wasn't originally Coach Taylor, it was Coach Long, and it wasn't originally Texas Forever, it was West Texas Forever. So a lot of things changed, but it was, you know, those edits as they came were all great, but that initial like really raw, really honest, really fantastic place that Pete wrote from stuck with all of us who read the original pilot script to what ended up, you know, being on the show.
Well, another interesting thing kind of on that same note, which I know you know from your work on Parenthood, and everyone's heard us drone on about it, but, you know, we got to go off script so much and Pete set that tone, and I'll never forget, like, you get rewrites of scenes and stuff, and then back in the day, now they're in your email inbox, you would get them slipped under your hotel room door. And I read one and I said to Pete, I was like, dude, I think Matt's talking too much in this scene. Mm. And he said, what are you talking about? And I was like, the new pages? And he's like, oh, don't fucking read those. Those are for the studio. We're not going to shoot that. We're going to shoot what we want to shoot. It's just for this. We're not going to shoot the script. Don't even read it. Hilarious. I was like, oh, okay, cool. Sweet.
This particular pilot, and we're going to get to it right now, you know, was just Pete Berg said from jump, nobody pushes us around. At the like launch dinner of the pilot, when we finally were done with all of our football camp and all of our, you know, training and all of our, you know, research and meetings with technical advisors and all this stuff, just for us, we might have thought it was like a long process of going down 2 weeks before you even start shooting. But they had been working on this thing for years, and Pete knew what he wanted to tell. He knew the story that he wanted to tell.
I have a quick question before you jump into this, which is just your numbers. Did you guys get to choose them? Did you not? How did that work?
So that basically, in the pilot especially, a lot of the football footage is used from Pflugerville High School. In their actual football game. So our numbers were based on their players' numbers because they wanted that footage to match. As far as mine, I don't know, because obviously we didn't use the backup.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's how we all got our numbers. And I was really pumped because 7, I know it's generic, but it's my lucky number. I don't know, 6, you liked it because it was Cutler.
No, my gosh. Jay Cutler, I cannot go into as a Bronco fan. The way he rode out of town was tough for me. That being said, it's not
only football. So let's avoid the Jay Cutler talk.
Yeah, sorry.
No, it's all good.
What did you guys start with filming, and how was like the chemistry on set between you guys as friends?
Trying to remember. I feel like the first stuff we filmed was practice.
Day one, I believe, was the interviews that were done. Which is something you see very early into the first episode. But before we get there, let's put a pin in that. We'll come back to that in just a minute. Let's just talk about the way the show opened. You know, most shows have like a cold open and a title sequence with this really catchy tune or whatever. The Friday Night Lights pilot doesn't actually have the theme song in it. It just opens with a black screen and says Monday. Nothing but a black card that says Monday on it. Then you hear the voice of Slammin' Sammy Mead. He comes on the radio and he starts talking about all the pressure that's on Coach Taylor, how the Dillon Panthers are the number one team in the state, how you've got, you know, two players and
well, such a genius way to do an exposition dump because this is what exactly would be going on in that town. And you're setting up like, here's where we are. Here's who the characters are. Here's the life situation they're in. And it's, you know, it's completely organic.
Yeah. And then it starts to very quickly just establish the town. Now, in the script, it goes to Street's house. In the script, it goes to a couple of other players' homes. In the script, it goes to Smash's house. And you go see everybody's house. But in the actual pilot that everybody watched, it's the Riggins household and that interesting family dynamic in Saracen's household.
Did you film those things or did they just scrap them while you were filming? Like, did they film you guys going to your houses and then they just didn't use it? Or was that, did you never even shoot you going to your
house?
No,
I mean, you see like these little scenes, you know, I made you tuna fish sandwich, two tuna fish sandwiches. Is that what it was in the show? It shows the first scene that you see between Zach and Luann, who played Grandma Saracen.
Yes.
And you get a very quick understanding of who Saracen is.
Right. But I think May was asking like the scene that was in the script of you at your house on that first day that wasn't in the final episode. Did you film it or no?
Oh no, I don't. We never filmed that.
Got it.
It was in the pilot script. But you know, over time things changed, things morphed, and finally the day we got there, they decided to just scrap that. We didn't actually shoot it. It was something interesting. They had an uncanny knack to figure out what needed to be told and what didn't.